the noble and the brave. When America has had an urgent need, these brave ones raised a hand. No hesitation held them back. They were proud to take a stand. They left their friends and family. They gave up normal life. It's not always a normal life in the military, is it, guys? They gave up normal life to serve their country and their God. They plowed into the strife. They fought for freedom and for peace on strange and foreign shores. Some lost new friends. Some lost their lives in long and brutal wars. Other veterans answered a call to support the ones who fought. Their country had requirements, the essential skills they brought. We salute every one of them, the noble and the brave, the ones still with us here today, and those who rest in the grave. So here's to our country's heroes. They're a cut above the rest. Let's give the honor that is due to our country's very best. And we appreciate you giving your best, folks, so we can still have the best in a land that is still free. Challenging, yes, but we're still free to be able to worship God as a church today. Thank God for that liberty. I'd like to take you to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. The book of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Here, this chapter, we see it Paul admonishing his young preacher boy, Timothy, concerning the Christian life. And we see several things here in this chapter. In verses 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. In verse number 1, he's addressing him as a son. He's talking to Timothy as a son in the faith. Thank God someone told us about Jesus Christ. I thank God for my spiritual family. He's addressing him as a son. Then in verse number 12, he's addressing Timothy, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed him and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Oh, I'm reading. Let me give you verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Notice in verse, sorry about that, in verse number 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice what he says. He addresses him as a son. Then he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. In verse number 12, he was telling Timothy, Timothy, there's some things that you may suffer as a result of your faith. There's some things that you may go through. And folks, I'm here to say that the Christian life is a joyous life, but sometimes God brings trials on our life that purify us for his honor and his glory. And he said, Timothy, sometimes you're going to be a sufferer. You're going to have to go some things that God may bring some struggles in your life where you're going to need God to help you to get through. James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then in verse number 15, he goes on down to tell Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, Timothy, you're going to be a student. All of us need to be a student of the Word of God. All of us need to know and have the answers that God wants us to have in this day and age. Thank God we can be a student of the Word. He said, Timothy, you're going to be a student. And then verse 24, he said, I want you to take all this. The greatest part of leadership is learning to be a servant. In verse number 24, he said, and the servant of the Lord must not be strive, but he must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. He said, Timothy, you're going to encounter a lot of things. You're going to suffer. You're going to have to study. But he said, most of all, if you're going to be a success and be what I want you to be, you're going to have to serve those who are around, and it's important to be a servant. He said, now, Timothy, I gave you all these things that you have the opportunity to be as a minister of God. But he said, for you to, in order to accomplish that, we read in these first three verses, he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Folks, I want to tell you, it takes the grace of God to help us to get through these times. Thank God, though, we have the grace of God. Listen, we're on the winning side. We have the victory, and we have the grace of God that can help us to meet the demand of this age. God is in our corner pushing us forward, but it's by His grace and by His mercy. It's God's work in and through us only to do what He can do and not what we can do, but Him working through us. He said, Timothy, you're going to need that grace. And he said, the things that you heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. He said, you're going to need to be strong. He said, you're going to teach others. And folks, really, what some of these soldiers have done, and these heroes in our midst today, what they have done, they have fought, they have given themselves for our nation to pass it down to the next generation to be appreciative of what's been done in the past. Amen. And Timothy here, he's saying, listen, if we're going to produce the next generation of godliness, the next generation of loving God, you're going to need the grace of God in order to do that. He said, and I want you to be able to teach other men these things. But notice what he said. He said, Timothy, you're going to go through a lot of things. He said that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, Timothy, you're going to have to be a soldier. You're going to have to take upon and be in the ranks of me and be strong in me, not in yourself, but in me. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. You're going to go through suffering. You're going to go through some trials. But let me tell you, it's going to be God that's going to help you. But you're going to have to be a good soldier. He said, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him with who have chosen to be a soldier. He said, you're going to be a soldier, and you're going to be able to serve God in that freedom that I give you. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take that soldier-like spirit to get things done. Now, I don't know everything about soldiering, but I think that some of these heroes have been through soldiering. And so what I'd like to do, I'd like to take the life of a soldier and then kind of apply it to the Christian life, if I may. I'd like to take something a little bit physical about this. Now, I'd first of all just like to ask the Lord to help us. Now, Father, help us today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you be with your word. May it be honoring and pleasing to you. May you be pleased by your word, not by me, but by what you have in your word. Help us to be a good soldier of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. And that first part of being a soldier is that soldier's enlistment. Now, I realize that there might be some of these heroes here today that may not have had the opportunity unless they had a number that was selected for them, and they went down to the service and they said, your Army, your Navy, your Air Force, your Marines, maybe we have some in that midst. I know that if I'm not mistaken, help me out, in Vietnam, they kind of selected. And now today we are more of a volunteer Army, and you're able to, military, where you're able to go down to the recruiter, or the recruiter comes looking at you. But I just want to kind of look at, number one, the soldier's enlistment. Now, I can remember back in 19... Isn't it funny, guys, how you don't forget these things? Now, I'm gonna reminisce with you guys, so if you need to laugh, you need to chuckle, come on with me, okay? I remember that day back in 1987. Let me explain to you. My parents, my buddy and I, we were very ambitious, and so my buddy and I, Scott and I, we were seniors, and we kind of having a love for our country. So we kind of decided that we would go down to the recruiter and just kind of talk to them. And we had a great ambition. And I'll never forget, we went down in Warner, Ohio back in 1987. And we got in there, and we went in there, and I said, you know, my brother-in-law was in the Army, so we'll go talk to that old Army recruiter. Man, he stood up and he said, man, you two look like two soldiers standing right there. He said, you two look like two soldiers standing right there. And we begin to tell him and our thoughts and our ideas about wanting to join the military. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, you look like a soldier, or you will look like a soldier. You join the United States Army. And he began to work with me and begin the process. And I'll never forget, I told him, I said, his name was Sergeant Walters. I said, you've got me convinced. And you know what he looked at me? He said, and I began to talk to him, and we began to talk about jobs and things like that. I told him, I said, you know, I said, my brother-in-law, I got to be honest. I got to tell you now I was involved in church, and I was serving God. And I'll never forget, he showed me one job, and I was like, man, I don't know if that was the job for me. Then I'll never forget, I said, you know, my brother-in-law was a tanker, man. And you know, he said, you know, the Army needs a tanker. Man, he got excited, and he showed me that tank going down there. And he said, Harold, he said, I could see you being a tanker. And I said, you know what? I said, you know, my brother-in-law went overseas to Germany. I'd love to go to Germany. He says, Germany's waiting for you, Harold. Yeah, he says, Germany's wide open. He said, Harold, he said, you may not understand it all right now. He said, I could see you becoming Sergeant Major of the Army. Man, at this time, guys, are you with me? My head was getting this big now, man. I was feeling good about myself. I was feeling proud. But I'll never forget, there was one person that he had to convince. My mom was like, honey, I don't want you off. I'm worried about you, you know? And I was like, Mom, and she's like, I'm not signing. She goes, you're not going in. And because I was 17. I had to be on the delayed entry. I needed their permission. And I told Sergeant Walters, I said, if you can convince my mom, my dad would go along with it. I said, but she's the one you got to convince. He said, Harold, he said, you meet me. He said, you let me handle Mom, okay? So I'll never forget, I jumped in the car. Sergeant Walters got there, and he reached in his glove box, and he took some Brute on. He combed what little hair he had, and he went like this, and he said, I hope I'm at my best. And he walked up the door. He said, Harold, I want you to stand beside me. So he walked up the door. My dad answered the phone. My dad answered the door. And I said, Dad, I said, I want you to meet Sergeant Walters. He's a United States Army recruiter. He said, Mr. Pierce, he said, I want to tell you, you have a fine family. He said, your son is a reflective of you. And my mom came to her and she said, honey, who is it? He said, it's the United States Army. He goes, I really didn't want him to go in. And he looked at him and he goes, Mrs. Pierce, I know you're the mold that keeps this family together. He says, you're such a sweet and beautiful lady. He said, I believe your son's got a lot of your attributes. My mom melted. She said, would you gentlemen like to come in? Harold, bring Sergeant Walters in. She said, would you like to give him something to drink? Would you like something to drink? Offered him water, a soda. And all of a sudden, he began to talk about what the Army had to offer. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I don't think she's... All of a sudden, my mom is like, honey, I think it's going to be a good place for Harold. I'm like, what? It's going to be a good place for Harold. And sure enough, guess what? Her heart melted. And here I was, my parents signing me up on that delayed entry program. Boy, I'll tell you what. You know, there was a recruiter in Luke chapter 19, if you kind of want to go over there. But do you remember when Jesus was coming into town? And there was a young man that heard about Jesus. His name was Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus needed the Lord. Luke chapter 19. course, we know how he came in. He was coming into town. Zacchaeus was up in that tree. Zacchaeus heard who the Lord was. And the Lord said, "Zacchaeus, you know that I love you." He said, "Why don't you come down? Zacchaeus, you've been searching for me. You've been looking for me. You know what?" He said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want you to be in my family." You know what? God is searching for people to be saved. Amen. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you've not come down from that tree. Maybe you know who God is. You know his presence. You know about him. But have you ever came to him and put your personal faith and trust him? Have you ever come to the point where you realize that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that number one, you realized you were a sinner? That's what Zacchaeus had to realize. Number one, that he was a sinner. Number two, Zacchaeus realized that for the wages of sin is death. Zacchaeus realized that without Christ, he would be separated eternally from God and would spend an eternity in hell. But Zacchaeus realized, but the gift of God is eternal life. Zacchaeus realized God had a gift. Jesus Christ was right there before him. But the gift of God. He says, "Zacchaeus, I've got a gift of God for you. You could have heaven, Zacchaeus. Come on down from that tree, Zacchaeus. God's got a gift for you. God's got eternal life for you." The Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you." In your condition this morning as a sinner, I want you to know Christ died for you, and he wants you to come unto him. Then over there in Romans chapter 10, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, "Zacchaeus, are you going to come down and confess me? Number one, that you're a sinner. Number two, that you're on your way to hell. Number three, that you need me." That's what it is, and repent, ask me to save you. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. Therefore there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Maybe you're like Zacchaeus, you're still up in that tree. Come on down. Come to Jesus. He's coming to town. He's enlisting people for his family. Amen. Oh, he's enlisting. Then I think, let me keep moving. A soldier's enlistment. Then there's the soldier's, the requester. That's that sweet Holy Spirit of God. Hey, do you remember, guys, when you got down to MEPS? Military Entrance Processing Station. Man, I tell you, that was a unique place to be. I mean, I had doctors all over me, man. And I won't go into details. Guys, you remember MEPS? Yeah. And they begin to ask you, and that's when you take your, for the guys on delayed entry, you took your, you did your physical, you did your oath of honor, you did the oath, you swore in. But that was that place where if your job was filled up, they switched your job. Maybe you're supposed to be a tanker, but you became a mess hall daddy. I don't know. But how many are with me? Guys, am I relating just a little bit? That's where you get everything in order. They request all that information. They need that to process you, to get you to your basic training. You know what? Thank God. The Holy Spirit told Zacchaeus to come down. He said, the Holy Spirit says, "Zacchaeus, get off that tree. Come down." It was the Holy Spirit that got Zacchaeus down on that tree to meet Jesus. Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit might be telling you, hey, you need to be saved. Hey, I don't know what's all going on here today, but I know I need Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Listen to him today. Now that you met that recruiter, you went down to MEPS, you are now a recruit, man. You're getting to be a part of that service. You remember when you guys were a recruit? How many of you guys remember me? You remember that day? I'll never forget. I was going to Fort Knox, Kentucky. Never been out of Ohio that much, except maybe to Pennsylvania. They said, "Harold, you come down here in Cleveland, we're going to fly you to Louisville, Kentucky." Man, we got on the plane, landed in Louisville, and I'll never forget, there was this guy, Sturkovich. He had hair down to here, man. He looked like acid head, man, let me tell you, man. Little Skiverick, man. I mean, and I'll never forget, he was on the bus. I was like, man, you're in for a rude awakening. He said, so are you, dude. He's like, quit looking at me, man. And I couldn't wait till we got there to see what happened to Skiverick, man. So we all talking, and I'll never forget, it started happening, man. They got us on these green buses. We got there. And this takes me to my second point. We were now in the education of what the military is going to be all about. Second Peter talks about, but grow in grace. There was a time of education as a soldier. I'll never forget, we got there at Fort Knox, and all of a sudden, these nice guys with brown hats were all sitting there. Boys, I'm so glad that you came to our United States Army today. Is that what happened, guys? Boys, thank you for coming to lunch with me today. No. Man, they got around. They yelled, get off that bus right now. Get off. You left your mother. I'm your mother now. You get down here now. You understand me? What are you looking at, son? You like me? Am I your buddy? Oh, yeah, man. I'll never forget, we had this one guy. He was so tall. He said, get on your knees and look at me, son. Man, by then, we were all shaking, man. It was happening, man. All of a sudden, you guys remember when like three or four of them got around you? Man, they started yelling and screaming. And I'll never forget, then they took us in, and we got our uniforms and things like that, and they were doing PT tests. Some guys were a little bit chubby, and they had to go sent back, and they weren't going to move forward. They had to pass at least a minimal little test there before they could move forward. My buddy Scott got stuck on the pork chop platoon, amen? And so he had to take a little extra time. He caught up finally. But it was a soldier education. That's when you started learning how to stand at the position of attention. You begin to learn how to march. Oh, 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 I gotta go. Ain't no sense of looking down. Ain't no discharge on the ground. Ain't no sense of looking down. Ain't no discharge on the ground. Oh, 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 I gotta go. Used to drive a Cadillac. Now I'm marching with my pack. Used to drive a Cadillac. Now I'm marching with my pack. Oh, 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 I gotta go. Put me in a barber chair. Swung me around, I had no hair. Put me in a barber chair. Swung me around, I had no hair. Oh, 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 I gotta go. Used to date my sweet 16. Now I love my M16. Oh, 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 I gotta go. Oh, 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 I gotta go. And all of a sudden, you begin to see what used to be a civilian turning into a fighting machine. Amen. Guys, do you remember that beautiful gas chamber that you went into? I'll never forget. They's like, boys, today we're gonna do, get you ready to, if you're ever introduced to chemicals. I'll never forget, they fed everybody Chili Mac. They were like, we want you to eat a little extra Chili Mac today. We brought the mess hall. They're going to give you a little extra. We want you to have a little. We know you guys are hungry today, so we brought you. And I saw some guys, I don't know how they fell for it. They were like shoving their face. And I'll never forget, we went inside that gas chamber. And what they did, they lined us up in there, and that CS was going off. And I'll never forget, they began to ask us, they wanted us to break our seal on our mask. They take that seal, and you take that seal and put it back on. They wanted us to get a little taste of that gas. I'll never forget, Nevis was beside me. And as that drill sergeant came up to him, he said, Nevis, take off your mask. And he sealed it. Then he said, take it off all the way. He said, give me your name, rank, social security number. Ronald Neofist. All of a sudden I saw Neofist doing this. And I said, I'm not doing it. He said, Pierce. He said, break your seal. I broke my seal. He said, no, Pierce, take off your mask. And I went like this. He said, Pierce, I said, take off your mask, son. And I went like, you know what he did? He took it off for me and he punched me in the gut. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, I got the worst of worst, man. I'll tell you what. I started breathing that. I was choking. I mean, everything was happening. I started swinging fists. He said, go salute the captain. I went to the window. They said I was saluting like this. I was doing anything. Fort Knox, they had this big tree that sits out front. Guys were coming out, bouncing off that tree. Drill sergeants, my arms are waving. My arms are flapping. I'll never forget all that CS gas was everywhere. Drill sergeant, my arms are flapping. Guys were coming out there. And I mean, all that chili mac was in public, amen. Oh, it was a time of learning. You know what a soldier's education is? A time of learning. It prepared you for what may happen in the future. You know, the Christian life is a time of learning. Week after week, your pastor will give you instruction, give you some things to help you through the struggles of life, the challenges of life. The Christian life is a time of learning. May we be open to learning. A soldier's education, it's a time of living. You graduate, and now you are a soldier. You're a sailor. You're an airman. And you're a Marine. Not ex-Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. You're a Marine. Amen? I'll never forget, we started our last church. The guy said, he said, Pastor, I want you to know I'm like two men. I said, Brother, I need both of you. Hallelujah. He was a Marine. And then you're a Coast Guardsman. It's a time of living because you are now. Now you're going to go to that first unit and you're going to practice and live and be prepared if you're ever called upon. It's a soldier's education. Then it's a time of leaning, because time after time, you're going to have to rely on them skills that you were taught for your MOS, whether it's artillery, whether it's mess hall, whether it's a tanker, or whether it's shuffling paper, amen. Each one is valuable. It's a time of leaning. You lean onto them skills because it's been taught. You know what? Sometimes, folks, in this crazy old world, I got to be honest, people will fail us, individuals fail us, but hallelujah, God does not fail us. Amen. We have Him to lean on. And if there's anything I could say in America right now, we just need to lean on Him. Yes. We need to lean on Him. Yes. It was a time of leaning that these things have been taught. Then, let me go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I realize the hour. You know a way to a soldier's heart is his stomach, amen? Soldiers got to have good chow. Feed him good beans and bullets. Motivates him, amen? So I know the chow hall is waiting for us over here. I love the chow hall, man. I'm a foodie type of guy. Man, some of these guys might have had sea rats, amen. Some had MREs. Yeah, it's a soldier's. Notice this. So, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. So you see a soldier's enlistment this morning. We see a soldier's education. Yeah, can you see how I'm trying to combine all this together into the Christian life? And listen to this. A soldier's expectation. Number one, we're to be reflective. I'll tell you, when the Navy wears their whites, it sticks out, doesn't it? When the Air Force wears their blues, it sticks out. The Army tried to compete with the Marines, so we got some blues. Now they're switching them over again. But you all, well, I know the few, the proud, the Marines. Yes. That uniform sticks out, doesn't it?
Yes.
And the Coast Guardsmen, they have their uniform. Each uniform represents and reflects that branch of service. Amen?
Yes.
And folks, as a Christian, we are to reflect that we are a child of God. Amen?
Yes.
We are to be reflective of who we are in Christ Jesus, a child of the King. Thank God I'm a child of the King.
Yes.
Be reflective. Are you reflective of Him as a Christian? Be a Christian. Be reflective. Then he said a soldier's expectation, I think, is this. Be reliable. Be reliable. Because you know what? I promise you today, no matter what your need is today in this auditorium, you can count on God. Give Him a chance to be counted on. Are you trying to hold these struggles? Are you trying to hold these things, all that what you can try to do? No, you can't do it, but you can count on God. Here's the thing. Can God count on us? Are we reliable for Him? See, we know we can count on God, but God wants to count on us. You know what? I believe right now, every one of these guys, we could probably jump in a Jeep and still do somewhat what we used to do. Amen? Maybe not being known as perfection, but I guarantee you, there's enough camaraderie among us veterans here. If we had to take the hill, I guarantee you we can take the hill, boys. What do you think? You think we can still get at it? I guarantee you, we could form a little squad. I guarantee you, we can go out here. We can take that hill if we needed to. And I guarantee you, you give us a few minutes of working together, I think we'd perform a pretty good team just by what we have. Because there's one cause, there's one name. And as Christians, we have a cause and we have a name. That's Jesus Christ. Can we be relied upon by God? Then, be ready. A soldier has to be ready. You don't know when you're deploying. You don't know when you're going. It's that call. And them orders come out. And you're going. Folks, life is like this. We're serving God. But one day the trump is going to sound. One day the trump is going to sound and the shout from heaven. In a moment of a twinkling eye, we which are alive remain shall be caught up. And God says, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? I want to be a soldier that's ready. Folks, if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're ready, maybe you've not been saved. Today's the day to get saved. Be ready. If you're saved and you're not serving God and you say, Brother Pierce, I don't want me God in my present condition. I need to get some things right. Get ready. Make it right. Hey, God's a God of second chances. Hallelujah, man. He's a God that'll help you.